The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
All reasonable, thank you here, Howard. obviously, the situation is so focused on corona, there's really nothing else to talk about. I wish I could say to you, you know, the canary had filled up and overflowed. But in fact, it hasn't quite filled up and overflowed. It's still about 36 centimeters away from the top. There has been a little bit of rain. The snow is melting. It's filling up still, but I don't think it's going to quite get to being full. I wish I could say to you, a new government has been formed and we've got all of this information, but unfortunately that's not the case at the moment. And I think that the formation of a government is a little bit on the back burner. Prime Minister Netanyahu was in isolation due to having been exposed to someone with the virus. He then announced last night at 9 o'clock that he was released from isolation because 2 weeks had passed since he had been in contact with that particular individual. That's the rule. 2 weeks from the moment that you've been in contact is the length of time that you're supposed to be in isolation. Obviously, he only discovered that she was carrying the virus quite late in the day, so therefore his isolation was very short-lived. Having said that, we understand this morning that Health Minister Yaakov Litzman and his wife have both been diagnosed with coronavirus. And there is a report that Prime Minister Netanyahu is being forced to return to isolation as a result of this, having, of course, come into contact with the health minister over the last little while. So I'm not exactly sure. That hasn't been confirmed formally yet, but we do have formal confirmation that Litzman and his wife are both diagnosed and feeling well in isolation at home and continuing to run matters of state with regard to the Ministry of Health.
Anthony, we were saying a little bit earlier, it's almost like there's a template. Anytime a politician gets it anywhere in the world, Boris Johnson or whomever, it'll be, you know, politician X and his wife Y have tested positive. Mm. They are showing mild symptoms and will be conducting business as usual from isolation. It's like a standard, right. And I've no idea what's true or not true, because I can't imagine that every politician that gets it mildly and is able to continue the affairs of the state as always. Boris Johnson, by the way, looks like hell. I don't know if you've seen images of
good.
Him.
I mean, he seemed to be working, but he didn't look good. I've seen him look better in his time.
yeah, exactly.
But the truth of the matter, Howard, I mean, let's put things into perspective, though. I mean, I don't think it's a very far-fetched scenario, because even though clearly, many people feel the effects of the virus and people do feel unwell, a little bit like having the flu or something like that. You know, we tend to concentrate on the bad side, on the negative stories. You know, in Israel, for example, unfortunately, we had a particularly bad day yesterday, whereas I think there were only 20 people who had passed away by the time I spoke to you yesterday morning. Now, unfortunately, I can say there are 29 people who have died. So we seem to concentrate on that and the number of people who are in serious condition and the number of people who are being ventilated and intubated and things like that. But the truth of the matter is that out of 6,000 people in Israel who have been diagnosed as contracting the virus, most of them are being treated at home. Most of them, the vast majority, massive numbers, are being treated at home. They're treating themselves at home, I would say, because they're just dealing with it as they would any sort of flu situation. So most people can deal with it at home. We will see yet whether people like Yaakov Litzman and his wife and other politicians also succeed in doing this, because I think that the vast majority of people do deal with it. And there are some really fantastic good news stories. And maybe we can talk a little bit about them. There was a story about Yoel Glatt, who is a Magen David Adom worker. And he was the 29th Israeli to contract the coronavirus. You know, every patient has a number, and he was number 29. He had no idea really where he contracted it from. And of course, at that stage, it was very, very limited. He hadn't come into contact with anybody from abroad. But be that as it may, he was diagnosed with a virus along with his wife and two of his children. And his son Menachem was also a Magen David Adom worker. Both of them obviously were isolated at home, treated, and in fact, even in hospital, being treated for the virus. The good news is that both Yoel and Menachem have returned to work at Magen David Adom, and they were both saying that there was never a time that they wanted to return to work more than now over the last couple of weeks while they've been recovering from the virus. And, you know, just watching everything going on and feeling very frustrated that they had to be isolated. And they were helping other patients in the hospital, apparently, in the unit while they were hospitalized, just to help the staff there. But both of them have now returned to work, their uniforms on, their back to work again. And so that's a really fantastic good news story, people recovering and getting along and then going back to helping other people. And of course, there's now a lot of focus on Pesach and what's going on for Pesach. Prime Minister Netanyahu saying yesterday, a small Seder is a safe Seder. That's the watchword for Pesach. So really just limiting people to the immediate family. Soldiers have been deployed on the streets of Israel to bring food to the people who need it, both for Pesach and just both for their daily use. People have now, you know, the soldiers are also helping to look after children of emergency workers who need to go to work and have got no childcare facilities and schools are closed. Soldiers have now been deployed to look after those children so that those emergency workers can get along and do work. The Prime Minister yesterday announced special allocations of money that are going to be paid out to parents of children, to pensioners. 500 shekels per child will be paid between now and the beginning of Pesach without having to produce any documentation, without having to prove anything. It'll just go into your bank account. So those are things that I think are positive to help people through this very, very tough period indeed. And I think that the Israeli government obviously is doing whatever they can in order to support people. It's never enough. There's always complaints that it's never enough. But I think there's a lot of work that's going on at the moment, but it's really fantastic. And I know I've mentioned it before, but I do want to say it again. It's really fantastic to see how the soldiers are being deployed and other, you know, charity organizations and volunteers are going out and helping people, just being a friendly face to say hi to, bringing their supplies. I know that the army has, commanded some supermarkets in certain parts of the country and asked them to pack up pre-packed, supplies of things, just standard boxes of goods that a standard family or a pensioner might need, and they're just simply distributing those boxes. No payment required. The government is footing the bill for all of the contents of these boxes. They're just giving it to those people so that they've got enough to keep going during this period of lockdown. And of course, another great story, which comes from Kiryat Yearim, some people might know it as Telstone, which was one of those places which was very, very severely affected, and lots of talk about why it was the case. It is an ultra-Orthodox community, ultra-Orthodox community. And they were very, very badly affected. And they've implemented a very, very stringent lockdown. And they are stamping out the virus. They've managed somehow to eradicate the spread of the virus from within their community. And I think that the Prime Minister is certainly taking some strength from the fact that they've managed to do it in this way. And he's also ordered now that B'nai Brak go into lockdown. So whereas yesterday I said that this was de facto the situation, it hadn't really been ordered. Today, last night, the Prime Minister stood up and said, listen, he's going to be limiting movement of people in and out of B'nai Brak in order to try somehow to slow down the spread of the virus. He's ordered home front guard to go into homes and extract people who are suffering from the virus or who are in isolation and put them into specialized units which have been set up for people who are in isolation, who are suffering from the virus, who might not need hospitalization at this point, in order just to try and get them away from other people in the community who live so near to them that there is a risk that they would also be infected. So a lot of work going on in B'nai Brak at the moment to try to limit the spread of the virus there. Those are really the main stories. You know, still lots and lots of issues about people feeling like they have cabin fever and a little bit of unrest in Jaffa. Unfortunately, yesterday with people feeling frustrated, this is inevitable, and people are going to feel frustrated. They're going to feel that they're not being taken care of. There are many, many situations where people are not being adequately taken care of, but I think there's certainly a lot of effort gone in to try and think about this on the fly, because this is not something something that's really been planned for ahead of time.
Yeah, in fact, the South African, also there, the national, the NRCD has also just released a statement saying that there's no perfect battle plan because it's just completely, we've got to take the information really and work with it as best we can. There can't be a perfect battle plan in South Africa now as well. And something that they're concerned about is, it's just, we've moved very quickly into autumn. It's much cooler now. And, the regular flu is going to start presenting itself. And what they're concerned about is not that people, are going to suffer more greatly from flu, but they're worried that people are going to be concerned and therefore go to hospitals, and that's where it will spread amongst people. So there's a lot of factors that just keep changing, keep evolving in the situation.
Absolutely, and you know, as you say, I mean, it's we're unable to really plan for it, and the problem with people being concerned that they have Corona when they don't is that it also puts pressure on the medical facilities, people
Correct.
Turning up at hospitals
yes.
or calling in medics in order to examine them when there's no reason for them to need to do so. And of course, the time and space is taken up when it's really urgently needed for other things. I mean, there are some fascinating stories about how the Israeli government has gone out to try to procure supplies that are needed, masks and ventilators and other medical supplies that are needed. A special unit has been set up under the chairmanship of the head of the Mossad, Yossi Cohen. He's drafted in people from the defense ministry, procurement, people who are really well-versed in undercover operations in order to acquire things that are not necessarily openly available on the open market. There was a great story about Israeli trucks that were on the way to some factory in Europe in order to get a shipment of, I think, 100 million masks or 10 million masks, a huge number of masks. And they were pipped to the post by some German trucks that managed to arrive at the factory just before the Israeli trucks were there. And they managed to grab hold of the entire stock of masks that were there. I mean, there are these kind of stories that almost sound like spy novels about how people are going around to try to acquire urgent equipment. And what's interesting is that in Israel, Israel Aerospace Industries has been commanded, has not been commanded, but they've actually volunteered to help with the production of respirators in Israel. And they have set up a line where they would normally produce missiles. They are now producing respirators with the help of some of the medical companies, and they are getting those respirators off the production line very, very quickly indeed in order to help Israeli hospitals. And there was even some talk about Israel beginning to sell respirators to the rest of the world, which has gone down like a lead balloon with the health authorities, because they're saying whatever we can produce, we really need for ourselves. So there is a lot of ingenuity going on at the moment in order to try and help to fill the shortage for the on equipment side. The Prime Minister yesterday saying that he would recommend that now all members of public use some sort of a mask, a face shield of some sort when going into public. It doesn't necessarily have to be a mask itself. It could just be a scarf, or it just could be something else, a piece of material that you put over your face in order just to protect your nose and mouth so that you're not exposed when going out into public. That's not been mandated as such. But that was the Prime Minister recommending.
Which is so interesting, because there's a lot of controversy around this mask issue, certainly here in South Africa. And Dr. Anton Meiberger just forwarded me, excuse me, a quote from the New England Journal of Medicine, because he maintains, Dr. Meiberg, that we don't need to wear masks when we go outside unless we are ill, and we're worried about infecting others. And here's a quote from the New England Journal of Medicine, which he sent me and asked me to read to our listeners. We know that wearing a mask outside healthcare facilities offers little, if any, protection from the infection. Public health authorities define a significant exposure to COVID-19 as face-to-face contact within 6 feet with a patient with symptomatic COVID-19 that is sustained for at least a few minutes, and some say more than 10 minutes, even 30. The chance of catching COVID-19 from a passing interaction in a public space is therefore minimal. In many cases, the desire for widespread masking is a reflexive reaction to anxiety over the pandemic. So he maintains very clearly that it's the surface to surface, it's droplets, and obviously if somebody coughs directly at you, or or you touch something, and that's the big danger, is how long the virus lasts on surfaces. But he still maintains.
I think there is controversy about these masks, and I think that at the moment people are saying, does it do you any damage? Does it do you any harm if you choose to go out with a mask? Is there any reason why you should do it?
I think the damage is the lack of availability for masks for people who need it. I think that's maybe
right, and the price that you have to pay for these things, which is astronomical, which is of course problematic. So that's why the Prime Minister is saying, just use something at home, just use a serviette, just use a scarf, just use something over your face. I mean, it's not been mandated, and I think the reason it hasn't been mandated is exactly for that reason, that it's not proven beyond reasonable doubt that this is actually something which will help. But you know, be that as it may, I mean, there's just a lot of things going on. Everybody's trying their little piece in order to make things a little bit better. And you know, as we head into Pesach, of course, it's a very down situation, because people are usually communicating with family members and arranging for the Seder or Seders, as is the case in where you guys are. And at the moment, unfortunately, people have much less to look forward to in that regard. Small Seder is a safe Seder. Let's all remember that, because I think on this occasion, that has definitely got to be the way that we're going to go. And I hope that you guys will have a good weekend, a safe weekend, a Shabbat Shalom. And I hope that on Monday I will be able to bring some slightly better news than what we've been talking about over the last week or two.
I certainly hope so too. And around about 8:35, Anthony, we're going to be speaking to South Africa's Chief Rabbi, Rabbi Warren Goldstein, because there has been an amazing letter and an amazing initiative started around this Shabbat. And I don't know if you've seen that at all. If not, I will forward it to you. But it's this initiative, global initiative, keeping it together, this Shabbat, reaching out to people before, wishing people, praying for people, and making this Shabbat HaGadol count. So, Anthony, I don't know if you have seen that or not. If not, I will forward it to you. But we will be chatting to South Africa's Chief Rabbi just after 8:35. Anthony,
I have seen it. I'll listen to the Chief Rabbi a little later.
Thanks, Anthony. You have a Shabbat Shalom. Stay safe and healthy.